Hi. I met Kim Ahn through her poems. 7 years ago, Jim Bodine, the owner and publisher of Blue Begonia Press, invited me to select their next book. And the invitation was a gift to me. I recognized his offer to step up and to assume a new kind of editorial role as a kind of soul work, and I was honored and humbled to be asked. So I wrote and put out an open call for manuscripts from poets in the state of Washington who had never published a full-length collection. I said we were looking for, quote, well-crafted work that transcends the page, that moves us, that takes our breath away. Poems of meditation, testimony, praise, exploration, protest, reflection, and witness, end quote. We received over 100 manuscripts, many of them high-quality submissions worthy of publication. But the one I loved most, the one that made my heart sing, was Kim Ahn Lieberman's Breaking the Map. Many of you now know that book and understand why it was my favorite. Nuanced, insightful, moving, Kim Ahn's work provides the pleasure in language and depth of feeling that I look for in poetry. The poems are as much Asian American works as poetic ones. Reflecting her commitment to a social context for the work of poetry, Breaking the Map documents life at the cultural crossroads, examines legacy and history, their costs, and their lingering effects. Sometimes humorous, sometimes heartbreaking, her poems explore memory and loss transfigured by language and imagination. They evoke magical myth-making cultures and address themes of migration, exile, and longing. Maps, margins, boundaries, chasms, divides, impasses, sides. What can I say? I fell in love with this book. Sadly, I had to deliver over 100 rejections, but I did get to say one joyful yes. So I phoned Kim Ahn at her Seattle home, sick baby screaming and crying in her arms, to let her know the good news. And then came the privilege of getting to work with this gifted young poet in order to further shape that manuscript and bring that book into the world. The bonus was that I liked her right off the bat. Like her writing, Kim Ahn was smart, brave, interesting, complex, fierce, and kind. I felt that I'd found a kindred spirit. Working on her first book together, we were in the zone. Some of you know the zone. When you're immersed in the creative project, doing work that we loved, in a spirit of collaboration. For me, that process was pure joy. The book did well. Public readings are what usually sell books, and Kim Ahn worked hard to get her book out there. She took Breaking the Map on the road, reading to appreciative audiences at conferences, independent bookstores, poetry festivals, colleges and universities, and visiting writers' series. She read at the Asian American Writers Workshop in New York. She received awards from the Jack Straw Writers Program and the Mellon Foundation for the Humanities. And she became a member of the Diasporic Vietnamese Artist Network, and she was also shortlisted for the Stranger Genius Award. Her poems began to be accepted for publication in some of the best literary journals. Highly respected by other writers, she became actively involved in the artistic community. 18 months ago, Kim Ahn contacted me writing, quote, I have a new poetry manuscript ready, and I'm wondering if you have time and would be willing to take a read. It's hard for me to imagine arriving at a book without your guidance and support, end quote. Of course, I would read and respond to her new manuscript, I replied immediately. I was pleased that she'd asked. I looked forward to seeing what she'd been up to on the writing front, and I told her I'd be happy to help in any way that I could. It wasn't until after I'd agreed to collaborate with her on this project that she shared with me, in confidence, her sad news about her cancer diagnosis, prognosis, and limited treatment options. She and Matt had made an effort to keep the news fairly private, in part to protect their three young children, Cassia, Kellen, and Maria, from unneeded chatter, and in part to shield themselves from overmuch management of other people's emotional reactions. Quote, that said, a lot of what I'm writing now deals directly with cancer as a topic, so I'm also sharing my news with you because it's inseparable from the manuscript, end quote. So for a year, I had the privilege of working with Kim Ahn on In Orbit, a compassionate, brave, intelligent book of poems which explores generational and cultural differences, the fragility of life, and the weighty yet cherished ties of family. Kim Ahn's unflinching eye and introspective voice in this book move me. Though very private in her personal life, the new work is intimate, candid, and revealing. writing through and about her cancer. These are brave poems for daring to deny us closure. There are grace notes of peace, but no easy answers. Kim Ahn was a working poet right up to her final days. Last November, just 2 weeks before her death, she and I were working to finish the back cover of In Orbit. Her fingerprints are on every page of the new book. She contributed to, saw online, and approved every part of this project, except for the minor revisions we made to her bio following her death. As Dan said at the time, has editing ever been so sad? And the answer was no, never. This is the book she wanted. I'm so sorry she didn't get to hold it in her hand, but we get to, and I know that mattered to her. Thanks to Dan and Amy Peters, now owners and publishers of Blue Begonia Press, In Orbit came out in January. If you're interested in ways we become who we are, how history and the changes and challenges of our lives shape us, and what displacement, disappointment, and hope can teach us about ourselves, each other, and the world we live in, you'll love this new book. My creative collaboration with Kim Ahn was one of the most intimate and rewarding exchanges of my life. The working on the second book was, of course, sadder than working on the first. Our work together as writer and editor continued with the vital spirit and mysterious energy of our initial connection. I loved how deliberate and conscious she was about what she was doing, how open she was to suggestions and help, and how committed she was, right to the end, to making her book the best it could be. Something mysterious was at work in all this. Not of her, but through her. Not of me, but through me. I carry the continued sense I had during both projects of myself as conduit of something important happening that I was lucky enough to be part of, but was in no way in charge of. Just like writing when it works. D.H. Lawrence put it, quote, not I, but the wind that blows through me, end of quote. Energy moving through us, creating something important, something beautiful, something that matters. Woo-woo, yeah, sure, but true. I want to thank Jack Straw, especially Joan Rabinowitz, for gathering us today to celebrate this fine poet and her work. Like all of you, I wish Kim Ahn were here this afternoon, reading her poems to us. She understood that we come most alive when we answer the call, when we give away what has been received. This is what poetry can do, what it does when it works, when we listen, when we give our all, when we seek to keep the gift in motion. The signs of this are gratitude and generosity, are paying attention and being present. Working with Kim Ahn made me want to get better at these things. I'm being called to do that. Maybe we all are. I'll end with two poems of hers that I've selected to share with you today. The first is called Eyes to the Earth. Half-breed, they call me. Only a snip of a dragon, a pinch of an angel, soft-bellied hound circling before it squats on scraggly haunches. Only half my face, half my flesh may call Vietnam home. The rest, American imported. Pink flushed hands, hazel eyes, half-breed, like oil and vinegar sliding back to cool separation. My cousins, scattered by beer-marinated soldiers in green chutes across the rice paddies, search. They spread roots to grip the dust-sown ground. They spread path by path, past Hanoi, past Saigon, hands dark imprinting the dragon earth. Cursed before the family altar where incense spits spires of perfume and smoke, thrown into the streets by iron matriarchs, by sapling girls, with nothing but dust to wet their stomachs, dust to water their tongues, dust to wear on shivering, scaled backs. Their scars split skin as pink as mine, but their silhouettes dig sharp edges in the ground. Slithering beneath steaming clouds of dirt, my siblings know their place. Lo, eyes to the earth. I wait, feasting full on my freedom. Free I burn between slats of stairs, slurs curling, oblique like sliding steam. I play their game, writing exotic scripts and elaborate lies, writing for tomorrow, for one dust child to scratch and slither down the pavement on bloody, ragged claws. Snag my sleeve and bid me come and embrace all the breathing, breathing dust. Lunch date with my younger self. The restaurant orbits with salad and soup. I'm slightly embarrassed to be glancing every time the front door jingles open. Truth is, we found each other on Facebook. We had done a poor job of keeping in touch. When she finally arrives in combat boots, I raise a quick eyebrow before smiling hello. And what had she done to her hair? Then I recall rainbows streaking the sink, purpling my fingertips for weeks. Belted to her hip is the silver Walkman that I left by mistake in a library carol, along with my favorite pen. Race back to find the pen, but not the music. Which moody anthem did she cue for the bus ride this morning? She takes the seat across from me, matches my hazel gaze. "You've aged," she says. I'm not going to ask about children or pets. There are rules. Reminisce and regret, but no spoilers. Your day is still my destination. We play Remember Him. She retrieves names and faces from murkier years. On most points, we laugh at identical pitch, though she alone finds my iPhone a joke. Nice transponder, Captain Kirk. Beam me up. But suddenly, sober. The clock can be stopped, she whispers, a wild grip in her voice. Dig your thumbnails deep into your palms, straight through the heart line, sharp as tacks, sharp until all you can feel is now. I say nothing. Come back, she pleads. Be less. Rewind. She touches the tip of a scar on my chest, rifted pink, where her own skin lies placidly smooth, seeing, just as I do, how many more brushstrokes divide us. I shake my head, collect my phone and purse, place my share of the bill on the table. There are rules. I cannot unmake my making, cannot reboot time. We are a sum of versions. Vivid as yesterday, I know she understands.